Blog Talk Radio.
You covered with the new 15-day LTE Go Plus 1.0 bundle with 8 gigabytes of data.
For the West Indies side. But of course, Ben Stokes is a fighter. He's there with Sidney. They've done very well in an unbroken stand of 126. So wicket number four at the end of the first day's play. England recovering from 81 for three to reach 201 for loss of three. It was a pretty interesting first day's play. Of course, there's been a lot of talk about Joffre Archer being left out of the side. We're going to certainly discuss that as well. But we've got some esteemed gentlemen joining us here. Of course, we've got the former West Indies captain, Sir Clive Lloyd. We've also got the former England batsman, Roland Butcher, and the former West Indies hard-hitting opening batsman, Phil O'Wallis. I'm Andrew Mason, and for the next hour or so, we're going to be talking cricket. We're going to be talking the first day's play of the second test match. But of course, we want to say hello to all of our viewers, all of our listeners, ABS Radio there in Antigua's with us, of course. We've also got a new kid on the block, Win FM there in St. Kitts. Thanks to Clive Backus for consenting to join us, Win FM 989. And of course, Vibes Radio, the champion station, being very much a part of it. WVent in St. Lucia. We want to thank Mike Rogers for being very much a part of the action. And yes, we go back to Antigua. And we've got Liberty Radio, ZDK. Yes. Hello, ZDK. Remember the days long ago when ZDK actually brought the cricket. We want to welcome them to this broadcast. So let's go to you first of all, Phil O'Wallis. Let's do an assessment of the first day's play. 207 for three, 82 overs. Your assessment of day one.
Thank you, Andrew. Good evening to you and the panel and our listeners. Today was true test match cricket. Hard grind. Slow pitch. West Indies won the toss and opted to field. And obviously, they got an early breakthrough. They were into that middle order. But then we saw a man called Ben Stokes. He joined forces with Sibley. And the two of them obviously came out on trumps to get England to 207 for three at the end of the day's play. But it was a hard fought day one. England obviously being defeated in the first test match at the GS Bowl. Come back at Old Trafford and they want to show their class. Obviously, they're ranked higher than West Indies and they really decided today that they're going to knuckle down and really put West Indies to the grind, and that is what they've done today. The West Indies bowlers, obviously, I thought that they put in the effort, but again, on a pitch that's not really offering a lot, I thought that West Indies bowled well. But again, Andrew, the little chances, you cannot afford to drop fellas at this level, particularly those guys who are ranked higher than you, and they'll make you pay. Unfortunately, for West Indies, some chances when they're begging. I know they obviously face it tomorrow to come down and break this unbroken stand of 126. And both batsmen, I tell you, they look good. The judgment today of Sibley was unbelievable. You can't believe he's the guy that got only the first four balls of Gabriel's comeback test match. He looked really good. He looked like a solid opening batsman. And obviously, Ben Stokes, a man for if you put a toothpick in Ben Stokes' annual score runs, he just looked like an accomplished cricketer. And that's all I have to say about him.
Yes. Well, let's go to Roland Butcher now. Roland, your assessment of day one.
Yeah, Andrew, first of all, good afternoon to you, Phil O'Clive, and all your viewers and listeners. I think day one belonged to England on several fronts. One, back first, in fairly overcast conditions. And by close of play, having lost only three wickets, I think they'll be highly satisfied with the way the day has gone. Even though the way the day started, in relation to the final 11 that they played, obviously would have been cause for some concern. But I think if you tackles with this, they went. I think for me, I don't think West Indies bowled as well as perhaps they should have done in conditions. If you notice towards the end of the day, the amount of swing that was being generated by the bowlers, which suggested to me that West Indies' length, particularly in the early part of the day, was just too back of a length. And looking to seam the ball instead of swing the ball. And when the ball was actually thrown up to the back, it did swing. And late in the day, Roach swung it quite prodigiously. And one of the wickets before, the only wicket before to the seamer, was of a pitch that delivery that moved away from the back. And so I think they got their length wrong today. Looking for seam instead of swing.
Mm-hmm. For the benefit of our many viewers, of course, Roland, but and listeners, of course, it's on radio as well. What is the difference between swinging the ball and seaming the ball?
Well, I mean, from when the ball seams, it is usually from back of a length. So you're actually hitting the ball on the pitch, and then it moves either into the batsman or away from the batsman.
Mm-hmm.
On this occasion, I think what was warranted was the ball to be called a fuller length, which allowed the ball to then swing in the air. So swing is when the ball actually swings before it actually touches the ground and then continues either in or away from the batsman. Look at our attack. It was too much more of a seam attack than a swing attack.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, what about the pitch, though? Let's come back to Philo Watts before we bring in to Clive. Philo, were you surprised by the pitch?
I was surprised by the pitch at Old Trafford, Andrew. I thought Old Trafford would have offered more to the fast bowlers. But obviously, maybe the weather conditions in that part of England, you know, Manchester is always rainy. And the pitch was very, very docile. Even Roston Chase got the ball to turn on day one, which obviously tells me the pitch is dry. But I was very surprised that they offered no assistance to the seamers at all. And seeing that West Indies spent 30 days at Old Trafford, you know, to come down and play on this kind of surface and also having two practice matches there as well, you know, it's really surprising to me how docile this pitch is on day one. So it just begs to really say, did we make the right decision in sending in the bat? Because we can put the bat last on a pitch that's going to deteriorate. And obviously, there's not a lot of sunshine. And so we just have to hope that we get these guys out and play and bat solid. But obviously, the pitch to me is not what I was expecting overall.
But of course, Roland, you know the conditions there very well. Roland, were you surprised by the pitch today?
I do not at all, because right throughout the first test match, you know, I was in constant contact with one of my friends in Liverpool, David Goodall, who you know is a friend of the Barbados Association. And even during that test match, you know, there was a lot of rain in Manchester, and the pitch was covered quite a lot. So it did not surprise me at all that it's been a little bit slow, because we would not have the amount of sunshine that it would have needed, even while the last test match was going on. So, no surprise today. Obviously, with good weather, it's picking up later on in the game. But today's play didn't surprise me whatsoever.
All right. Now, let's look at it. Perhaps we can look at the dismissals, first of all, of Burns and Crawley. Again, England not getting the kind of start that they would be looking for. 29, the first wicket fell, but then it was Roston Chase, the man who had such a very good first test match, who actually was the man who brought through and got Burns and Crawley. And gentlemen, let's have a look at that video.
Let's run through some of the key points that have happened so far. And we'll start with the first two wickets, because when Jason Holder won the toss earlier today at midday without delayed start, I'm sure he wasn't thinking of the first two wickets going to the spin of Chase.
No, absolutely. And in some ways, he probably brought Roston Chase on. It was just before lunch. He brought him on out of frustration as much as anything, rather than the hope of getting wickets, because his seamers had really struggled to land the ball in the right place. But he did pick up wickets. I think NASA mentioned he's spinning it off the damp, and I think that's right, having played here for many years. What you often got at Old Trafford was a little bit of dampness at the start, that the ball would spin and you'd think, aye, we're in for a game where the ball's really going to spin. But then actually, on the second and third day, it rather flattened out until it started to spin again.
But you look at it, I didn't hear you when you started your conversation, Andrew, actually. I only heard you coming at the end with Ross and Chase. But when you look at Burns put his foot forward and then withdrew it and then pushed the bat and missed the ball. A straight ball, Roston Chase obviously coming around the wicket and got that ball to just hold its own and hit him plump in front. He just missed a straight ball. And again, it just shows the effect of having a spinner who has some control. And Russell Chase does have control. I thought it was a good wicket to get. Burns continues to struggle in this series. But when you look at Zach Crawley, it's a normal ball. You should just come back and even whip it with power. He just turned the ball and Jason Hole again with good field placing. And he picked up a second wicket in quick succession. So you can see two good wickets for West Indies, but they didn't seize the opportunity. I thought that Burns got a very casual to put over their batsman. And Crawley should have looked to whip that ball. He just gifted this wicket. And obviously West Indies had two quick wickets. But again, you know, England continued to bat on. But Rawson Chase just shows that he has that control. And I'm commended of the way he's bowled, actually, so far in this test match.
Mm-hmm. Rawson Chase. I mean, he has certainly done pretty well, Roland Butcher. In the first test match, he got two important innings, 47 and of course 37. But he also got wickets as well. And he got the first two wickets, Roland.
Well, yes, I mean, he's the only spinner from the side. No, obviously, Craig Mackett will also spin as well, but the only recognized spinner is Rawson Chase. So he's got a lot of work to do. The only thing I find with Rawson is that he bowls a little bit too much with leg-ish. He doesn't get the batsman to play the ball on the offside. And, you know, there were a couple of soft dismissals, one perhaps looking for the ball to turn. And then the other one just really, he just meant to turn and push this sprint against the others. And I want to see Rawson Chase develop more as a bowler and reach the, you know, the defense of a batsman by bringing the ball from off into middle. You know, he would become a much more important bowler then, and not just someone who really stops and end up. I think a lot of the time, you know, he's used in that fashion, somebody to ball up and in. I mean, he will pick up wickets as he goes along, but I don't think he's used as a front line spinner to ball side out. There's someone looking at the man who would toss the ball up and say, you're stuck, like the batsman, he's looking for through here, or to get the cotton ball. And you notice that when Jason Holder and himself finally decided to have more than two fielders on the offside, he was then too short and too wide, which made it quite easy for the batsman player. So that's something he needs to work on.
Indeed. All right, we've been joined by the noted journalist in England, David Brooke. David, how are you?
Extremely well, thanks, Andrew. Just really happy to see cricket back on between these two great teams locked in one of the great test match series between England and West Indies, of which there have been many.
Are you happy because England had a good day, David?
I'm unhappy by that, Andrew. That's why I'm wearing a West Indies shirt and lived in Jamaica for 2 years. But apart from that, I would be feeling pretty pleased with myself. I did, though, appreciate the play of both Sibley and Stokes. I think, you know, let's take Sibley. You know, one or two of my colleagues on Guerrilla Cricket today were saying that he should be sponsored by Dulux because it's like watching paint dry when he bats. And I thought that was terribly unfair. I thought that was unfair. I think this guy has got real stickability and he's shown the others how to bat. And it's great for county cricket. It's great for first-class cricket, which, as you know, Andrew, I spent 2 years in the Caribbean just wanting to cover four-day cricket in the Caribbean because I think it's the greatest form of the game. You know, from my point of view, I like it the most. And it's, so it's gratifying to see that Sibley, the most successful performer in English county cricket last year, leading run scorer, gets his chance in the England team and shows to every county cricketer in the country that it's worth playing because if you do well, you can succeed at the highest level. So it's great for Sibley. And as for Stokes, I mean, he's the straightest bat now in the country, you know, since that little bit of, you know, the stuff we don't talk about in Bristol, that scuffle. Since then, he's come back a changed man, seen the light. He's concentrating on his cricket. But my only thought today, Andrew, I don't want to be critical to ruin West Indies' party because I know you're the main cheerleader for the side these days. Indeed, you were mentioned on Mike Atherton on Sky Sports. You know, they mentioned Mason and Guests, that popular spin-off show that you and Philo are on regularly. Yeah, they give you a big... Mike Atherton gave you a good plug on... Sky Sports Cricket said it was the only radio show worth listening to. And that includes Tuffers and Vaughan on BBC Radio 5. The only disappointing thing today, Andrew, and Roland, you know, I think from West Indies' point of view, is they're here with a squad of 25 and they can't put 11 fit, energetic guys on the park. Carlos Brathwaite is doing a terrific job for BBC. No less a figure than Carlos Brathwaite said that he thought the West Indies boys looked weary today, a bit tired. You know, and I thought, well, that's odd. They've got 25 here. Why not pick from 25? If these guys are tired, bring in Shamar Holder. Bring in Minley. Bring in Ray Reefer, who got a five already. You know, there's no excuse for going in with anyone who's half. And I thought Roach looked tired today. I've never criticised Keemar in the past. In fact, the English guys I commentate with think that I'm always talking up the West Indians too much and I'm always bigging up Keemar Roach. But he looked tired. You know, his second spell today was barely reaching the keeper. And he's been 75 overs now without a wicket. And I speak as a huge Roach fan. But I just wonder whether, you know, the back-to-back tests, for him and Shannon Gabriel, who with his very cumbersome action is always like a sick note waiting to happen. But again, he's a great bowler and he's hit the stumps more than anyone, I think, recent years. But he was pulling up sore. After just a few overs, he was off to get physio treatment. So I just question why not bring one or two of these other guys who are knocking on the door in and rotate, even though it's a three-match series. There's only 3 days between each match. Now, West Indies coaching staff must know that because they've got everything else right in terms of the organisation of this tour. The other question mark maybe today is Jason Holder electing to field first because, as I'm sure your statistician, Howard Eastman, will tell you, the Old Trafford is a ground where you get the team batting second very rarely wins. So by bowling first, it was a big call from Jason Holder. And so to end up with 200 for three, although England didn't get away, is I think a disappointing return, isn't it?
It is. But let's go to Roland now. Roland, did the side look tired today, the bowlers?
There was some tiredness there. Andrew, you may remember in the last test match, I did say on this program that I was a little bit concerned and was interested to see how the West Indies with these three test matches coming so close to each other in terms of fitness. I did also set that point, my concern in relation to someone like Shannon Gabriel, who had been missing from the game for quite a long time. Obviously, came back into a test match. This is a very high pressure game. It's not like bowling in the nets. There's lots of energy, lots of mental energy as well. But he would have expelled a lot of that in his last performance. And then, the player, a few days later, I was also a little bit worried in this case that perhaps he may find that, you know, by the third game, that he would really be in trouble. So, possibility would have been to rotate him, even though he got those figures, keep him fresh for the final game, because the final game pretty much could be the all-important game. But, all that's in hindsight. They made a decision to go with Gabriel. You know, he's had some niggles and he's going to have to try and fight through it because he's in the test match now. You can't pull him up.
Hello?
Yeah, and Jermaine, look at our bowling today. Our bowlers look at, some of the bowlers look down on energy. Obviously, Hampshire would have pulled a lot of them in relation to coming back into international cricket. And then the recovery period is so short in this test match series. It's going to be, obviously, we're starting to see the effects of the first test match. So I don't know how they go about with their recovery or how much practicing they have done since when they got up to Old Trafford, because it was a journey on Monday from Hampshire to Manchester, and then you got Tuesday and Wednesday to prepare. And someone like Shannon, who was off for cricket for a little while, put out a lot of energy, as Roland said, in that first test match. He's a big unit. How much rest is required of him to operate at his optimum? Roach, to me, looks down on pace. I don't know. Again, he's gone 75 overs without a test wicket, and maybe that is bothering him. I find he's granting more than Serena Williams. it's very strange, but he's granting every delivery. Oh. Obviously, that is strange. So I don't find that Roach has his rhythm. I don't think Roach is in rhythm at all. He looks out of rhythm. He's, to me, again, this is a surface, as Roland said, that if you look to swing the ball, you know what I mean? But he's not getting it in the right areas. Coming back later this evening, he looked like he would get a wicket, but he's not picking up the wickets. And that could be frustrating for Roach, and that has him out. I mean, look at Azhari Joseph. You know, he's the one that I know he's going to take our cricket forward or back, fast bowling. And he looks pretty okay. Jason, again, you know, they're about But from the top, Roach and Gabriel, we need those guys to really pick up early wickets so we can get into making inroads into that middle order. And that didn't happen today. So there's a little flatness in the fast bowlers. But hopefully they'll get some rest tonight and realize they have to come tomorrow morning and try and break this fourth wicket partnership. Because if this Bill and Josh Butler, you know, his head is on the block, and then the fella like Josh Butler head is on the block, he's going to take it off a run, and he's playing at home. So all these are things that we have to be cognizant about going into that second day's play.
Well, you know, gentlemen, we haven't spoken about the jumper archer situation. So we're going to go, of course, to David Brooke now. He's got all the inside information. David, can you explain to our many listeners and viewers what is wrong in relation to jumper archer? Talk to us, David.
Okay, yes. Andrew, it gives me no pleasure to say this because I'm Jofra Archer's number one fan, because I'm a Sussex man. First and foremost, a Sussex man. And that's where Jofra went to whilst en route from Southampton, having left the biosecure bubble to Manchester. Now, you don't need to get a map of the UK out to know that if you're going from Southampton biosecure venue to the next one, Manchester biosecure venue, you don't go via your own apartment in Brighton. In order to, you know, do whatever you have to do. That's not my business. But that was a mistake. He's made a mistake. And, you know, I think he's been left out of the team. He acknowledges he made a mistake. He's made a fulsome apology. I think it could have happened to any of us, be honest. Let him not be the one to cast the first stone in this. But the result is the punishment is missing at least one test match, quarantining for 5 days. And worst thing of all, you can't even take yourself off fishing because you'll have to sit there in your hotel room overlooking the ground. So that would be pretty much a very uncomfortable experience for Jofra. So I think that's punishment enough. I hope to see him back for the last test.
Let me ask the question. Is he to take all the blame for this, David?
He has accepted responsibility. It was a silly mistake. I think it's been blown up out of all proportion, particularly by the Caribbean media, not yourself, but members of the gutter press. No, I mean, it has been taken up by a lot of people, especially on social media, on one of your social media forums, Andrew.
Okay.
But can I just take this opportunity to say again how wonderful it must be for you and Philo to be mentioned on Sky Sports by Mike Atherton today?
Yes.
Yes, that's okay. Andrew, the thing is about Jofra is that, you see, a lot of people are saying why England doesn't have a team bus. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to remember that these guys were practicing at individual county grounds assigned by the ECB. Jofra joined the party late at Hampshire because of, obviously, a family member. So he drove his car there at Hampshire. So, obviously, they would drive their vehicles up to Manchester where the next two test matches are. And maybe after the final day is played, the last test match, they might have to go wherever they have to go. In England, it's not about flying. So they get the opportunities to drive their vehicles. Now, I don't know what would have made Jofra Archer.
Well, I can tell you, I'm afraid it's probably the course of true love, because the Daily Mail are reporting tomorrow morning that the reason why he went by his apartment in Hove, near Brighton, was to you know, to at least greet his girlfriend. And that's reported. I'm not saying that. It's in the Daily Mail. I know you don't go in for that type of gossip, Andrew, so forgive me for lowering the tone of the show.
Andrew, I'm going to disagree here with David. In the case of what Jofra has done, it's a mistake. I think it's naive. It is unprofessional, and to be quite honest, I think it's quite stupid, because you are in an environment where, you know, it is an unusual environment. I'm hearing in your chat, Andrew, the discussion, people relating this to Joe Root and Phil Simmons.
I mean, two different things.
Like that. Phil Simmons and Joe Root seek permission and was granted permission to do what they had to do. Now, what he did was, albeit being very naive, was not just endangering himself, but he put his teammates, he put all the people who work at the ground, he's put the West Indian players, stupid players, all of us at risk if this hadn't been found out. I think it is something that needs real punishment. He was not punished for this game because he was not dropped. In actual fact, he was ruled out of this game because of having to be quarantined for five days. I think he should be dropped for the next test match. And a message sent very clearly that, you know, if you're a professional, you have to behave like a professional. There is no excuse whatsoever for Joe Archer leaving Hampshire and going via anywhere else. He should have gone straight to Manchester, back into that environment. He's a professional player, you know, who the whole world is watching right now. And that's nothing to do with the loss to the team, because, you know, he's a great loss to the team. But if I were an England selector, the third test match, I certainly would not be looking to select him. I would think that he would have to pay the price.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not defending Joffrey's actions, you know, Andrew. All yes. I said, I would like to know what would have made him go down to his hotel, his apartment in Brighton, because there's strict guidelines, and he would have known of the guidelines, and there was a route that all of them would have taken to Old Trafford. And I hope, from what I gathered, there were designated stop-offs if they want to stop. So obviously, he breached the protocols, and he has paid the price. And that is something that he has to learn, because at the end of the day, they are not going to be as forgiving as they are now. One day, the hammer is going to come down on him, and he has to bear the brunt of the lash.
Well, we're just about 3 or 4 minutes before we go to our first break. Let's come back to you, David. Would you do what Roland Butch is saying? Don't play him in the third test? Are you that harsh? We're not hearing you, David. All right. Let's try and get David on. Is it possible that we can get David on, please? All right. All right, David, can you go again? We're not hearing you. All right. Until we can solve that problem. Is David there now? Yes, David. Oh, I don't know if it's from our end. Are we hearing Roland instead then? Roland? Why are you so harsh, Roland?
I'm not being harsh because not playing in this test match is not his punishment, because he ruled himself out from selection. That's different. Now, what I'm saying is the next test match, where he comes into consideration for selection, is where I would make sure the punishment comes. That he does not play in that test match, because I think he needs to learn the lesson. He's not a 15-year-old boy, you know. He is a much travelled international player, even though he hasn't played a lot of international cricket. But he's played in a lot of international tournaments all around the world, so he knows what is expected. And I'm absolutely certain that during this series, that they would have been told over and over again what the position is, and they've all got GPS as well. There's a GPS,
yes,
which tracks where they're supposed to go. I mean, how can you really believe that going off track offline that you would not be picked up? I mean, it is naive and it is quite stupid actually that, you know, he should get himself in this position at a time, a crucial part of this test series where this team is 1-0 down, looking to get back into it. And suddenly you're not available for selection. So for me, I would punish him for the third one for sure.
Mm-hmm. David, do you have your GPS on? Can we hear you now? All right. Okay, we're not hearing David. We really need to try and get that problem solved. Okay, what we're going to do, let's go to break now. It's at 3:30, of course, in the Eastern Caribbean. Of course, when we come back, we want to look at this list of Roach, and we also want to take a close look at the bowling of the West Indies side. Roach is very much under the microscope. Shannon Gabriel looks a bit tired. How did Joseph go today? We also want to take a look at Holder in terms of his bowling and his captaincy. And of course, Ross St. Hayes picked a 253, and we wouldn't talk too much about the bowling of Craig Brathett. Let's pause for business call. We'll be right back. And he's quite happy to join us as well. And we've also been joined by Liberty Radio. Liberty Radio there in Antigua and Barbuda. We really want to thank you very much indeed for being very much a part of this exercise. All right, let's go to Philo Wallace. So, Philo, let's take a look at the dismissal of Root. Root, back in the Western, back in the England side, he of course didn't play the first test match. A very important member of that side, he came back into the team and made 23. I would be interested to see how he was dismissed.
And, pitch it up and a little bit of swing. Alzari Joseph, safe hands of the captain.
Tremendous change. Alzari Joseph from the opposite end from where he started before lunch. Quite wide on the crease, very full, and just enough movement away, drawing Root into the drive. Holder with hit.
So that was the dismissal of Big Fish there, the big snapper. Root caught by Joseph and delivery that was full in length, and he made 23. It was then 81 for 3 at that stage. It was a very, very important wicket to get. We're now joined by Sir Clive Lloyd. Sir Clive, we heard you earlier, but we had one or two challenges, but we are quite happy to have you with us here on Vibes Radio. And Sir Clive, 207 for 3, your assessment of the first day's play.
Yeah, I thought they made the right decision. They got 3 wickets. The captain sort of dropped the Sibley at what? When he was 57. So then you would have been into the middle. But the point is, people must remember that the guy who got 9 wickets couldn't bowl for just over an hour. So, he had to put pressure on the other guys. So I think that if we had Gabriel for that period, that they probably would have made some inroads because they're still not playing him well. You notice once he's pitched on line and so on, they missed the ball. And especially this guy is not—he's not too certain against Gabriel. And I think that the point is, if you have 4 fast bowlers, you have to, your slip fielders have got to be really ace. And that was our forte, is that we didn't drop a lot of catches at slip. And the point is that if you put a side in, if you could get 5 or 6 wickets, you've done a fairly good job. And they've only got 207, but the point is that they need now to get quite a few wickets tomorrow. And I don't know if Gabriel is fit enough. And people saying that you play him now and then you have rest. You can't do that. Not if you have a frontline bowler. You've got to be fit enough to play. You're playing county cricket, you play 11 days straight, 12 days straight. So the point is that you have to be fit enough to bowl the overs and bowl when the captain is called on. The other thing is that I noticed in cricket today, Australia, England, India now has got, this is a rarity, the Indian fast bowlers fast bowling Ladster. You know, that is extraordinary. The other thing is that I don't hear anybody talking now about over rates.
Oh.
Have you heard anybody saying about the over rates?
Mm.
Not one commentator.
Mm.
But when we were playing,
yes,
we beat Australia probably 4-1 or whatever it was, 3-1, and we paid $65,000 in fines.
Oh, really?
And the games did not go to 5 days. So I don't know who we were robbing. You know, so it just shows that cricket has changed tremendously.
Mm.
But I have to bring these things up because it hurt us. You can't be winning a series and you're beating the opposition hands down and you're paying that amount of money. And nobody here, I haven't heard a soul yet, unless I'm not listening to it properly. Nobody has talked about the overrate of all those countries because they now have four fast bowlers. England has got four or five. Australia's got. Even India now has got three fast bowlers. So the point is that nobody is talking about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry I have to bring that up. But the point is that the West Indies could have had, could have been in the ascendancy had they taken that catch and then exposed, you know, someone like Butler, who's really out of form. But you never know. You know, tomorrow might be the same situation. Might be Gray, might be overcast. And we did not bowl a line. You notice all our fast bowlers did not bowl a line like we bowled in the last. They were all over the shop. So I think they have to sit down and discuss the situation tonight and try and get it right for tomorrow.
One would imagine. No, talking about the bowling, let's come back to you, Roland Butcher. Let's look at the work of Al-Zahri Joseph. 15 overs, 3 minutes, 1 for 41. How did he go today, Roland?
I think Al-Zahri, when he got it right, he looked pretty good. I think he was, of all the bowlers, the faster bowlers, he's the one that actually looked to pitch the ball up, try and get some swing. Got the wicket of Joe Root. I think Joe Root would be obviously disappointed the way he got out. It was a little loosener, which was wide outside the off stump. But what Al-Zahri Joseph was able to do with that delivery was, even though it was wide, he got it to swing. So Root was always inside the line of the ball and got the edge. So I think if he is allowed and given the right sort of field and told, you know, that he can pitch the ball up and try and swing it, I think he will get a lot more success. But right now, I think the concentration seems to be more on Jason Holder, Roach, and Gabriel. And Joseph is playing a big part. I would like to see him, in this condition, play a more of a leading role because his type of ball, and I think that could affect some batting collapses.
Mm. Some people felt he didn't bowl enough in the first innings of the first test and the second innings of that test match as well. So Joseph looks good. Let's look at the work of Jason Holder. Let's come back to, you know, Philo Wallace. 20 overs, 8 maidens, none for 33. How did the West Indies captain go today, Philo?
I thought that Jason obviously bowled within himself again, Andrew. He looked to hold things because there was no Shannon Gabriel. We didn't have Shannon to fire on all eight cylinders. Shannon was firing on 4.5. So Jason decided, look, I'm going to be the holding one to just bowl things, keep things tight. 20 overs of 33 runs. Obviously, you're looking to pick up a wicket or two, but he did not pick up any. So clearly, he was just bowling within himself and bowling his usual line and length. I thought that we needed to, on this surface, Jason could go a little fuller. He has the height. They're not going to push their left foot down in his face. And he just picked up some good wickets in Hampshire. So he also is in the back of their minds of as a wicket taker. He picked up 6 in the first innings. So I think that Jason could have bowled a lot fuller, looked to attack the stumps more, look for wickets. But today he just bowled the hole in pattern and, you know, just the bowl tight, saying that one bowler was down. So hopefully tomorrow, as the client said, they need to come over and make some early inroads. Because if this partnership grows, we're looking at something over 350 in first innings.
Mm, yes, 207 for 3. With Sebley looking very good. He's on 86 not out from 253 balls with 4 fours. And Stokes, who captained in the first test, 59, 159 balls, 4 fours on the 6, and an unbroken stand of 126 for wicket number 4. Because at one stage, England were 81 for 3. The West Indies would be cockled then, but then no success in the afternoon. And England would have enjoyed the exchanges on the first day of the second test match at Old Trafford. Let's come back to you now, Roland Butcher. Is Kemar Roach under the microscope? 75 overs now, this is the second test. He has not picked up the wicket yet. Is he under the microscope?
I'm not sure whose microscope is under, Andrew. But just before I get to Kemar Roach.
Let me ask the question. If Roach does not perform well in this test match, do you think he could very well be dropped for the next test?
No. My answer to that clearly is no. I'll tell you why. Because don't forget, you know, Roach, like everyone else, has come into this series on the back of not rather falling.
Right.
So he needs overs under his belt. So, you know, he has not had any wickets so far, but, you know, he's got to be one of the first names down on the team sheet for that last test match. You can't drop Roach at this point.
Say that again, Roland. You're saying that if he performs poorly in the second test match, having not gotten a wicket in the first test match, his name is going to be one of the first names down?
What do you call perform poorly? Not getting wickets is not performing poorly, Andrew. You can bowl well and don't get any wickets.
Oh.
He hasn't got any wickets. That doesn't mean he's performing poorly.
Let me ask a question. All right. Now let's go to Philo Wallace here. Philo,
you're not with the question for me. You're running away to Philo.
I always run from you. I always battle with you. I mean, look with Barbados this year, really criticizing Barbados won also every match. So I'm not going to get into any fights with you, Roland Butcher. Let's go to Philo Wallace now. Is Kemar Roach under the microscope? Is he under the gun, Philo?
Andrew, yes. If he does not get any wickets in this test match, Andrew, we have a young fast bowler waiting.
Yes.
I'm just terribly sorry. This cup competition. England now resting Wood and Jimmy Anderson, the drop stroke ball for the first test match. We in the West Indies, we believe that a man owns a player. Roach doesn't own any player. If he goes two test matches without a wicket, Andrew, it's a young man called Kemar Holder who can replace Roach. If Shannon Gabriel is unfit, Kemar Holder should play. And I think that we in the Caribbean, we are too conservative in our selection, and our conservatism is going to kill us. And that is the problem. So Roland Holder can say he's the first name down. If I was the selector on tour, I'll be in Roach Aries, my friend. Pull this up. Because people are waiting. People are waiting for players. How long are we going to keep people waiting?
Oh.
Until Roach gets up. No.
Sorry.
Andrew, listen, Roach, 2 weeks ago, was our number one bowler. And within a game and a half, you're looking to drop him? I mean,
how can you
go from being the number one bowler in one game and a half to suddenly being replaced by someone who hasn't played a game yet?
England, Jimmy Anderson, no rest him.
England, absolutely right. Anderson should not play the first game either. So
why not? Why not, Ryan?
Why not?
Yes, tell me.
Because if you have got Archer and you've got Wood to face, why do you need Jimmy Anderson?
Oh.
Jimmy Anderson won't. You'd be lucky to play the rest of this series.
Mm.
Very lucky. Because Jimmy Anderson is on the way out. Now, I don't say Kemar Roach is on the way out. As I said, 3 weeks ago, Roach was the number one name on the list. A week and a half later, you cannot be thinking about discarding him. Mm. Kemar Roach has to play in the third test match. It's the only way.
Mm. Regardless.
Is injury, or if he bowls like an absolute drain, leaks a lot of runs.
All right. So, Clive, your view on this?
The point is that he doesn't look himself, actually.
Okay.
It's quite obvious that I would have said if we won this test match here, I would have tried a youngster for the third one. But the point is not a matter. If you're not doing well and you don't look like you sort of getting any wickets, so you're not as penetrative as you should be, well, then you got to look at your position. It comes down to the same thing like Shai Hope. He, too, has got to watch himself if he doesn't come good. You know?
Agree.
Because you cannot continue getting small scores, and you have guys there like the Silver Boy who's a good cricketer.
Yes.
And the point is that you can't just, I agree with Philo, you can't just say that these guys have an automatic place.
Mm.
You know what I mean? The point is you have to work for your position. You got to be consistent.
This is
test cricket. You know what I mean? And if I know he's trying his best, but he's not as penetrative as he should. I'm hoping that he can. He can come through. But if you look at our bowling today, it was mediocre. It was all over the shop. Nobody bowled a very good line and so on. The point is we need to do that if you're going to compete with other countries. He's a terrific. I'm watching him now bowl. But the point is, we're all over the shop today. You look at Gabriel. Gabriel bowled about 4 wides, a couple of no balls. And, mm-hmm. if you put a side in, you want all your bowlers firing. And that didn't happen today. And that's why they're in such a position. But when they got it right, they beat the bat, but they weren't consistent. So really and truly, we have to think of guys. You cannot just think that your position is secure if you're not performing.
Mm. Interesting point made by Sir Clive Lloyd. Of course, this is the Vibes Cricket Summary. I'm Andrew Mason, your host, and we've got with us former West Indies opening batsman Philo Wallace. We've got the former West Indies captain Sir Clive Lloyd and former England batsman Roland Butcher with us as well. And of course, we've got ABS Radio, we've got Win FM in St. Kitts with us. We've got, of course, Vibes Radio, the champion station. WVET there in St. Lucia, very much a part of this. And of course, we're going to go back to Antigua and Liberty Radio ZDK in Antigua, very much a part of this. We really want to thank you for being with us as we look back at the exchanges on the first day's play. 207 for 3, England. Having had the situation where the West Indies won the toss and they decided to bowl first. Let's come back to surprise mode. Jason Nolan won the toss and decided to field. Were you surprised by that decision?
No, I think they had rain for the last couple of days.
And right.
They were covered. So it's obvious that you'd have the moisture now. And we have 4 fast bowlers. And when do you want them? You want them to bowl when there's some help with the pitcher's concern. But the point is, we had the guy who got 9 wickets didn't bowl for over an hour. So the point is that it sort of devalued the bowling. But the other guys know how to bowl double their overs. So they were a bit tired. There's no doubt about that. And we cannot say that this guy is only, he can only play 1 or 2 test matches that he brings. We have to find out how fit he is. And I think the Australians do have a machine, and they try it out with McGrath after a couple of test matches. They have like a stress machine to get those sort of situations right too, because we're depending now on we have some very good fast bowlers around, and they need to get a good run. We can't just keep these youngsters there sitting in the shed and not getting a run out, and other people are not performing. This should be competition for places. It happens that's what makes a good team, that we have people waiting there. So when you go out to bat or bowl, you got to perform.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you can send your comments on Facebook. We have a couple of reactions already. And this Kemal Roach thing, of course, is going to generate a lot of discussion with Roland Butcher, saying regardless of the situation, he's going to play Kemal Roach in the third test. Roland may get some nasties for that, but that's all part of life.
Andrew caught me right.
What did you say?
Caught me right.
What did you say?
You can't remember what I said.
I thought you did.
Caught me right.
I will. All right. Now, gentlemen, in the remaining, 10 minutes we've got left in the show, 2 things we're going to do. We're going to do an assessment, of course, of the work of Stokes, 59, 70s, 86. And we want to look forward to the action on day 2 And something happened very special last week on my show, Mason and Guest. We're going to bring you at least 5 minutes of it. And it's really generated a lot of discussion across the world. We're going to do that in about 5 minutes' time or so. Prime Minister Mia Amo-Motley of Barbados, Dr. Ralph Gonzalez, the Prime Minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and Dr. Keith Mitchell, the Prime Minister of Grenada, got together and they spoke to the West Indies captain, Jason Holder. And that really created a lot of discussion. And in the next 5 minutes or so, we're going to end the show with that. It was really, really, in my view, touching that we had the outpouring of love coming from the Prime Minister and the reaction from Jason Holder. So, gentlemen, let's first start with Sydney. Roland, your assessment of his 86 not out and the performance of Strokes 59.
I thought Sydney batted very well, in line with the last test match, even the way he got out. I thought he always looked calm, looked assured, and really he batted like a guy who has been the main run getter in county cricket in England for a little while. So, you know, so his performance today was good, apart from obviously when he was dropped with Jason Holder at slip, playing a loose drive. I thought he batted exceptionally well. I think what helped him also was the calming influence of Ben Stokes. Once Stokes came to the crease, I think on the very first ball you can see that he really looked determined, as if he was going to bat, started the middle of the ball, looked quite nicely. And his innings was, I think, crucial, not just to the England tour, but it was crucial to Sibley continuing his innings. So really, tomorrow morning for the West Indies, really, they need to look to get rid of Ben Stokes very quickly, because if he stays there, I think Sibley will also grow in confidence and things could go from bad to worse. So tomorrow is going to be important. But for me today, I thought both of them played very well in conditions that, you know, were still pretty helpful. I don't think it was free scoring. You couldn't just drive on the up, etc. Every batsman who actually tried to drive in those areas, you know, found the edge, and Sibley himself. But I thought the two of them played quite well.
All right. The performance, Phil Wallace of Sibley and Stokes, and what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Well, obviously, Sibley, as an opening batsman, Andrew, he would have done his job, batter entire day. And he only hit four fours in that 86, but he soaked up 253 balls. So he, as an opening batsman, will feel quite contented to know that he's batted entire day in test match cricket, and he's coming back tomorrow, obviously looking to get 100. Ben Stokes, Andrew, is Mr. Fantastic. He was captain last week. He scored runs. He's not captain this week. He's still scoring runs. I think he's enjoying his cricket, and he's just enjoying the challenge of getting back onto that field. Tomorrow, obviously, England will be looking to solidify this position at 207 for three. They're hoping that these two guys can go on and score hundreds and obviously get big hundreds and stretch, maybe get over 350. West Indies, on the other hand, will be looking to make early inroads and try to break this partnership and try to get into the Ollie Popes and Josh Butlers and hopefully get in there early and get some wickets and try to restrict England on the 350, because it's still a good pitch. Although it's slow, it's still a good pitch, but we have to see how England will bowl on it. But I think that these two batsmen, Sibley and Ben Stokes, will be looking for hundreds, and West Indies obviously be looking to restrict England under 350.
Mm-hmm. Sir Clive, what do you think tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow they have to try and get early wickets. There's no doubt about that, because if Stokes gets going, he hits the ball well, and I must say that he would go after the spinners and the pace. And we haven't seen anybody yet take on our pace or spinners. So the point is, it all goes for a very good day tomorrow. But if the West Indies can get a couple of wickets, they can get into the middle. They have the new ball. They'll just have to have some of those ice bath tonight and get their muscles in order and really try and put in the effort on the second day. And I think they would have the same type of weather tomorrow. So, you know, it should be overcast. It might just swing around a little bit. And just hope if they get any chances that they take them. But this you don't want England to get 450 or 400, because it'll put them in, you know, on the back foot of such. But I still think the way we played, where we batted, we now understand what we have to do. So this is quite interesting.
very interesting indeed. Good words there coming from Sir Clive. 207-3 at the end of the first day's play. Remember, West Indies won the toss and chose to bowl. Sibley is on 86, not out. Stokes is on 59. They've added 146 to make that 126 runs for wicket number four in a broken stand. And that has proven to be the kind of performance that England would have enjoyed the exchanges on their first test play, 207-3. 82 overs bowl with Ruston Chase picking up 2-53 from 16 and supported by Joseph. He picked up one wicket for 41 runs from 15 overs. Now, a couple of days ago on my show, Based in the Guest, we were able to bring Prime Minister Mia Amor-Mortley from Barbados, the Prime Minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Dr. Ralph Gonzalez, and the Prime Minister of Grenada, Dr. Keith Mitchell, together after the West Indies won the first test match. And when we called, Jason Holley said he was happy, very happy to interact with these honourable people. And of course, it was also good on the show to have Iago Rowe. We also had on the show as well, Lance Gibbs. And in terms of the women as well, we certainly were able to have Hayley Matthews. So it was a wonderful, wonderful piece of Caribbean unity. And we're going to bring you, as we end the show, a bit of that with Mia Mortley, Prime Minister of Barbados, Dr. Ralph Gonzalez of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and of course, Dr. Keith Mitchell of Grenada, along with Jason Holder. This is introduced by yours truly, Andrew Mason. To go first of all to Jason Holder, the captain of the West Indies team. Jason, we want to congratulate you on a tremendous performance. I can tell you, the smile across the Caribbean is broader than broad. Good evening to you, sir.
Hi, good evening, Andrew. Good evening, Keith. And good evening, Rao, as well as Dean. It was a really good win. I thought the guys played some outstanding cricket over the last couple of days. And, you know, I think it just boils down to the preparation which we had leading up to the first test. Obviously, not playing cricket for a while. You know, there was a bit of rust there. But, you know, having that time here in the bubble prior to the first test, I think it was needed, or much needed. And, you know, the guys really utilized the time spent, and you know, we were able to really capitalize on a really good start.
Indeed. Well, I think it's quite appropriate now for the Prime Minister of Barbados to join us, Mia Amor-Mortley. And, of course, I'm going to leave it to the Prime Ministers to say a very special almost past your bedtime, Jason, but I know you understand the importance of this. Let's go to Prime Minister Mia Mortley. Good evening to you, Prime Minister.
Good evening to you, my dear Andrew. How are you?
I'm okay. My smile is as broad as Bridgestone after that win. What a performance. And what does that mean? First of all, I'm sure you're going to say hello to your very good friend, Jason Holder.
Well, I was about to tell you that, allow me, please, to send a virtual hug, Jason. Jason, I hug you. I wish I could go across the ocean and hug you even more. Every time I hug you, I have to look up. So, and that's exactly where you're carrying us, to victory, to the skies. I am so, so, so proud of you, my boy. I can't even tell you.
Thank you very much.
You know, I just came off of a call and I reminded persons that my very, very first act, Prime Minister Barbados, after being sworn in, was to commit to the English match here in 2019. And I will never forget how you made me feel when you all beat England in 3 days at Kensington Oval and reinforced the wisdom of that decision to be able to take the chance and ensure that test match was in Barbados. So you are just carrying us to greater heights each time, and your wisdom and your maturity and your discipline. You know, for me, the highlight was just how long you took to make the winning runs, that last 10, 11 runs. Because I'm not joking. That said to me that the maturity is there. Mm-hmm. Understand that unless you finish the mission, you have not achieved what is required of you. And however pretty the game looked, and however nice it looked, you've got to finish the mission. And you brought that sense of hope in us again, that this is a team that is now going to carry us on a pathway to victory, because what you showed was the maturity and the discipline to keep the mission in focus.
Jason?
Thank you. No, thanks very much. And I guess it's it's really fitting to see the love and the appreciation shown, you know, throughout the Caribbean. You know what cricket does to this region, and obviously the people of the Caribbean are really ecstatic over the first victory. So we thank you. We thank you dearly for continued support. You know, hopefully we can, you know, start again on Thursday and, you know, go through the same processes, you know, we can go through the same hard work and not get too far ahead of ourselves in terms of the outcome, but more or less focusing on the process and making sure that, you know, we could continue to keep the smiles on people's faces.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the Prime Minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Dr. Ralph Gonzales. Doctor, how are you this evening?
I'm very happy this evening, and I've been happy for a couple of days since the victory.
Mm-hmm.
And I rejoice in the victory. I remember seeing Jason with his 200 at that same game in Kensington, and I saw the performance also in that same game by Chase and Dorich.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you the truth. Even at 25-3, I didn't think at all that this was another West Indian collapse. We had played with such, to use Mia's word, discipline.
Mm-hmm.
We had played with such commitment that I felt it. There was something in me which said the purposefulness with which the players as a team went about their job, that I felt absolutely confident that we were going to make the 200 runs. So congrats, Jason. And it's a good win in the same week when we were remembering.
It's incredible. And believe you me, I'm sorry that all the rest of the fellas in on the call, but and I know it is late there in England. Believe you me, tell them that we send multiple hugs and we can't wait for them. And that's not to say that you don't have ahead of you two more tests, but yes, it's hopefully to give you that, to allow you to know that we, the Caribbean people, want to be the wind beneath your wings.
Wind beneath your wings.
All right, so there you have it. Wind beneath your wings. Well said by Mia Amomoti, the Prime Minister of Barbados. It was really good to be part of team company, really. Mia Motley, Dr. Ralph Gonzales, and Dr. Keith Mitchell, of course, the West Indies captain, Jason Holder. And you could see, if you can, see emotion. I mean, it was, I think it really meant a lot to him with the kind of outpouring of love that came from the Prime Ministers, and he really felt it. I could see it on his face. Okay, let's look back quickly at what happened on day one of the second test. West Indies up against England, 203 for seven, make that 207 for three at the end of the first day's play, with Sibley on 86. Stokes has got 59. And they are involved in an important partnership of 126 for the fourth wicket. They've done an extremely good job so far. And no doubt the West Indies are hoping that at the start of the second day's play, they can certainly come through and get wickets, because it could be a long, long day in the field with someone like Stokes at the crease. Said they look good so far. So quickly then, the West Indies, they won the toss, they chose to bowl, and it was a situation where England were 81 for 3, ended the day's play on 207 for 3, with Sibley on 86, not all. Stokes on 59, with Chase picking up 253 and Joseph 1 for 41. We'll come back here tomorrow, same time, just around 3 o'clock, to bring you the Vibes cricket summary. And let's say to the West Indies team that the secret of success is constancy of purpose. I'm Andrew Mason. He's hoping for a bye tomorrow. It's good. Bye.
Well, there you have it. Mason and guests bringing you summary. I trust that you enjoyed it. We got a late arrangement to have this show done, but we just put it together today, and we hope that you'll be able to join us tomorrow, God's willing, when we'll bring you the Vibes Radio summary. Compliments, Andrew Mason, out there in Barbados. Good night, God bless.